everybody out this morning. And yes, I'll turn it on. All right, it's on. Grab your Bibles. Hopefully you have one. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And let's all stand in reverence to God's Word. Hebrews chapter 3. And if you can stand, if you can't, that's okay. We're going to read quite a few verses, but nonetheless, if you can stand, please do, in reverence to God's Word. Verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Let's pray, my kind and gracious Heavenly Father. Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity to come to your house today to worship you, Lord, in song and praise, and now to open the bread of life, and that we can glean from it, Lord, what you would have us to. Lord, if we'll pay attention and if we'll allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that each one here this morning will take heed to your word. And we thank you. Ask you to hide me behind that cross. It's nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus. And in his name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, for quite some time, we've been discussing... Oh, that was nice. We've been discussing love one another. And I think we should. It should be something that we should talk about and discuss. And as I have mentioned, the Apostle John supposedly got to the point that that's all he preached. Anytime they brought him, he preached, love one another, love one another. And they finally asked him, don't you have anything else to preach? He said, yeah. He said, if we love one another, we do that, it's enough. And really and truly that's true. But as verse 13 says, but exhort one another daily. Now, we need to exhort one another. What's exhort means to encourage, to cheer up, to embolden, advise, walk along one another, aside one another. So let's look at verse 1 first. I want to break some things down. Verse 1, it says, wherefore, holy brethren, I want you to look at that. Holy brethren, the family that you're in, once you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, at some point in your life, there needs to be a time that you said, you know what? I'm going the wrong way. I'm doing the wrong things. I'm trusting in the wrong things. I need to do a turnaround. I need to turn 180, and I need to say, and by the way, that's called repentance. And some people want to say that's a work. It's not a work. It's part of salvation. You've got to quit going in that direction and turn to Jesus. At some point, you need to realize that you turn to Jesus and you believe that God sent Him to die on the cross for your sins. God sent Him to take the punishment for us, shed His blood for us, and give His life for us that we can have eternity with Him if we're willing to say, Jesus, I believe, come into my heart and save me. And you can call on God, and you can call on Allah, and you can call on everybody else you can think of. And it doesn't matter, you're going to go to hell in your sins unless you call on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, I know a lot of people say, Oh, but Jesus is God. Amen, He is. But the Bible even plainly makes it plain as can be, you must call on Jesus.
Amen.
Well, we got a few. You must call on Jesus.
Amen.
If you want to be saved. If you want to have eternal life, it's all about Jesus. It's not about nobody else. It's about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, when we look at that holy brethren, that's the family of God, and that's laborers in Christ. That's exactly who He was talking to. And then He goes on and He says, partakers. What are we partaking? We're partnership in our calling. He called us. Matter of fact, it says, you can't get saved unless God calls you. It says He will draw all men, not some. Not just a few, but all people. He'll call them to Christ. Now, they may or may not accept, but He calls all. It's not for a select group. But if you accepted that, listen, you're in partnership with Him. You're saved. Hopefully, you're a church member. And we need to give intense attention to it. He says, consider. In other words, really look at the situation. Consider all of these things. Christ, His calling, He was sent to us. And we are partners, by the way, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 2 through 11, Jesus, I'm not going to go verse by verse, but Jesus, He was faithful to God, as was Moses. Let us be faithful to Christ and to one another. Verse 8, it said, harden not your hearts. You see, sin will cause us to harden our hearts. If we choose to go that direction and stay in that stuff, it causes us to harden our hearts. Oh, I would never do that. Of course you wouldn't. But the devil will help you do that. He'll make it easy for you to do that, and it's very simple to fall into. And in today's world, we need to be careful. Harden not your hearts as the Israelites did. Why? Well, look at verse 9. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into rest. Do you want rest? That's not talking about going to heaven. That was talking about going into the land of promise. The promised land, whatever you want to call it. When the Israelites got there, they didn't have faith in the Lord. And the Lord said, suit yourself. Stay out there in the wilderness. You're not going to get rest. Now, when we get saved, we enter into the Lord's rest. But if we don't live our lives according to the Word of God and according to the way Jesus laid it out for us, it's real simple. It's all right here. Do we have to walk perfectly? No, we can't. But we are to be reaching out and building a relationship with the Lord. And when we do that, He gives us rest. That's why He said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, somewhere in there, He said, take on my yoke. You can get saved, but if we want to continue to live the way we want to live, we're not going to have that rest, that love and peace and joy in our hearts. We're not going to have that. That's our rest. And He says, why do you want to take heed? So you can have rest. And it means beware, because look at chapter 4, verse 1. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. You don't want to come short of what God has for you. But we can. We can come short of what the Lord's laid out here for us if we continue to go in the wrong direction. Amen. We can mess up. And then He says in verse 13, while it is called today, what day is He talking about? Really, it means the period of time and the era in which we are living, we're to hear Him. The time is which we live and was fixed by God for us to enter into the rest. The 40 years when they showed up at the river to cross it, to cross Jordan, they didn't want it. They said, we can't go over there. That was their day. And they turned it down. You see, we can turn it down, so to speak, our crossing into that rest with the Lord Jesus, if we're not willing to turn as He wants us to. You see, the Israelites blew it. And if we don't want to, we can blow it, but we don't want to blow it. Listen, we want to do everything within our hearts to live for the Lord Jesus, because, hey, you don't want to miss out on what the Lord Jesus has for you. And you, if we're missing out on it here, we're going to miss out on it up there. Oh, I'm going to heaven. That's right, but you ain't going to have the rewards and stuff. You're not going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, wagon wheel, that's you guys. That's us, all of us. We've all got weaknesses, don't we? Of course we do. If you don't, you need to talk to me. I need to figure out what I'm missing out on. We've all got our weaknesses. Some of us have got weaknesses more than others. Hence, why we exhort one another. You see, not all of us is located here or here or here or here. We're all a mixed up group. We are. We're human beings. We come to church. We got different lives that we live. We were raised different. We were raised in different parts of the country. I'm sorry, not everybody was able to be raised in the South. That's a shame. But that's just the way it is. And so there's things that I can exhort to you, and there's things that you can exhort to me. I wasn't raised around the cities. they've got some interesting things. You want real interesting? Brother Roger told me about it. You go to Walmart? You ever go to Walmart? I try to avoid Walmart. But I go to Walmart and you can see some strange things there. But now they got new lights in Walmart. Now you can really see. there's a lot of things here. Listen, the church at Colossae had some problems. They really did. Go over to the book of Colossians. The church at Colossae had some problems. They had a lot of issues. But they were a good church. You see, this church had faith. It had love. It had hope. And they were growing. Well, guess what? Wagon wheel fits in with the church at Colossae. We fit into the church in Colossians because the church in Colossians, the church in Thessalonians, the church in Thessalonia, the church in Philippi, they all had human beings going to their church. Can you imagine? It would be nice if a church didn't have humans in it.
Amen.
Then we wouldn't have problems, right? But problem is, we wouldn't have a church. You see, faith, they had faith. Now, I want you to understand, wagon wheel has faith. But what's our faith in? That's the key. What is our faith in? What was the faith in at the church of Colossae? It was in Jesus. We have our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in Trump. Lord knows, not in Biden. Not in anybody else. Our faith is based on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith ain't in the pastor, praise God, it ain't. Your faith ain't in me. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, that's special. There's people, I've heard people say this. Well, I'm a person of faith. Okay. Well, that leaves an open door for me to say, what's your faith in? Is it in your works? Because, hey, if it's in your works, you're going to stumble and fall flat on your face. Maybe it's in my pocketbook. It sure ain't in mine. You're going to have a mess. Maybe it's in our government. Maybe it's in your family. Listen, you need to know what your faith is in. It's only as good as the object that it's in. You see, if we got faith in... I'll just pick on him because I voted for him. If we got faith in Trump, we got problems. Because there was a whole lot he should have done the 4 years he was in there that made me mad. Now, I'll vote for him again. Some people might get mad at me over that. You'll get over it. I don't get mad at you. You want to vote for Biden? Vote for him. I don't care. But here's the deal. My faith in him was only as good as the object. So it can't... What's your faith in? It best be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what their faith was in. And their faith was in the Lord Jesus Christ, same as ours. They had love. Wagon Wheel has love. Now, not maybe what it could be, but we're all human beings, right? Sometimes it's hard to love, Brother G. He comes in here, how you doing? And he's always got something to say to me. And he'll say something like, well, I thought about it. hey, we may have love for each other, but sometimes some of the things upset you, does it not? Well, yeah, we're not perfect. Well, neither was the Church of Colossae. They weren't perfect, but nonetheless, we had love. You see, it may not be exactly what it needs to be, but that's what we're doing. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us we are here to do what? To grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're under the teaching and preaching of the Word. We're to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4 of Colossians chapter 1. He says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which He had to all saints. We love each other. We might get mad at each other. We might get a little bent out of shape at the way somebody acts or dresses or does. But nonetheless, we still love each other. We need to remember those things and come alongside and exhort each other. John 13:34 talks about love. John 3:14 and then 20:23 talks about love. Jesus said, love one another. And that's what we ought to be doing. We ought to be loving one another. There's a book called Hidden in Plain Sight. Now, personally, I hadn't read it. But there's a little excerpt in this book. It says, in this book, a woman had a rough week. She had had all kinds of problems. And I think she went to the church where this pastor of this church wrote this book. And it says she gets up, because she was really tired, she gets up and her child had scribbled on the window in the living room with a color. You ever walked in and saw what your child done with a crayon? And you're like... Because you know what's coming next. One, you got to discipline. Two, you got to make them help you clean it up, or you ought to. You ought to make them help you clean it up, because that makes a difference. If they've got to clean it with you, that does make a difference, because they think about it next time they go, huh. And the last time I... anyway, but this kid had wrote on the window things like love, joy, peace, and she was learning how to write, so a lot of it was misspelled. And the woman would seem to be still a little upset, but the last thing she saw written was love one another, except the kid had written it, love one another. W-O-N. Another. Well, think about that. We were one by Jesus. Amen. By His love for us. Well, honestly, that's what we ought to be doing. So we were one that way. Now we ought to do the same. We ought to be out loving one another and exhorting those people, especially the household of the brethren. We ought to be exhorting one another. We don't just come in and say, yeah, we love you. But you see, exhorting is that part of the work part. Amen. You know, it's easy for me to say, well, I love you, Brother Jose. and I go on about my business. But the other part comes in where I can exhort him, where I can stand along beside him and encourage him, where I can say, hey, do you need anything to be prayed about? Same with Brother Will or Brother Jeff or Sister Lori over here. If I don't come alongside them, give them a hug every now and then. Hey, oh, I love you, sis. No, every night we need to do that. Are we perfect? No. But that's what we ought to do. We ought to be exhorting one another. You see, Wagon Wheel not only had faith and love, but Wagon Wheel's got hope. Look at Colossians 1:5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. You see, you ever noticed a child just before Christmas? Oh man, they get fired up. Woo! If it right before their birthday or right before Christmas or you're fixing to take them to some exciting rodeo or, well, baseball game or soccer or basketball and they're going to get to do something they really, really wanted to do. Man, they're excited, they're fired up. Well, guess what? They're happy, they're joyful, they're peaceful. Our hope is established in Christ Jesus. We're going to heaven. We ought to be excited. We ought to be fired up about that. We ought to be able to look at people and hug them and say, look, life may be rough here, but look what we got waiting. Man, it's going to be good up there. Listen, I got to wear glasses. I got things on me that hurt. I woke up this morning, my fingers were so tight, and I'm like, what'd I do wrong? Felt like I worked all night. I'm like, eh. And then when you bend them, they're popping in there. It's like, man, that, you know, that ain't normal. They didn't used to do that. And then when I walk along, I got this pop, pop, pop. And it's like, that's not a good sign. In the vehicle, you know, my truck was going womp, 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 womp. And I'm trying to figure out what it is, and I can't. Finally, I did, because I had the right person take it apart, and they made it easy. They raised it up on a rack and cranked the truck up, and they said, oh, here's where the problem is. Well, they opened it up and figured out, oh, yeah, you got a problem. You know, when you hear things like that, pop, pop, you're wondering, should I have it checked out? Well, I probably should. Because something's going to break. Eventually, either that or wear something off that needed to be there. You know, one of these days we're going to be in heaven. We have that inheritance in eternity. And it ain't like your inheritance when Sister Diane and Brother Roger, they left here the other day and they went to the airport and they stayed at the airport all day and they stayed at the airport all night. And then they finally got to leave and they got to Michigan. Well, the stupid motel canceled their reservations. They had to go into all kinds of junk so they could get a room. Listen, one of these days we're going to get to heaven. Our reservations are not canceled. They will be waiting. What was it Tom Bodet used to say? We'll leave a light on for you. It's going to be there. When we get there, it'll be there. What a blessing we have. And we can encourage and exhort one another with all these things and say, hey, I know life may be bad here. I know this may be going on. Your grandkids are useless. Your children are falling apart. They're useless. Maybe not. But it's all going to be better one day. Hopefully your grandchildren and your children all know the Lord. I'll be honest with you, all but one of my grandchildren, and it's a great-grandchild, profess to know the Lord. Now, I don't know their hearts. That's between them and the Lord Jesus. But every one of them claims to have Jesus as their Savior. What a blessing for me. When I lay down at night, I'm like, I can relax. Because I know when I leave that one day I'll see them again. What a blessing. Or if one of them leaves first, I know that I can go to them. Kind of like David said. He said, you know, they couldn't understand that. There he was crying and praying and fasting because his baby was dying, and and he didn't know what to do, and they were all scared to approach him. Rightfully so, he was a king. He wasn't in a very good, one wrong move, and he just said, offered his head. That'd have been it. No appeal. So they wasn't going to say much. But then they said, should we tell him the kid's dead? Well, he sees them all over there talking. And they figured it out. He got up, he said, dead, ain't he? Yeah, bring me some bath water. I want some nice clothes. I want some food. And they're like, oh, wait a minute. How come it is, while he was yet alive, you were in here fasting and praying, and now he's dead, you're like, you're happy? He said, look, he said, he can't come back to me, but I can go to him. You see, I've got that. Beside it, each one of us, hopefully, all have that in our hearts and minds that, I know there's some that we won't see them there if they don't get saved. But hey, we can look and say, one of these days, I die, she'll sling a little snot. Very little. But she'll say, I'll be there with him again one day. My mom and dad passed away. They both professed to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. One of these days, I'll be there with them. If I up and die, my children know. I told them, I said, don't stand around and whine. And, just say, you know what? He's in better shape than he was. He's a lot better off. And yeah, it's going to be tough because that family member's gone. I understand that. I've lost family members, loved ones. But you know what? They're a whole lot better off. My father-in-law, he was not in the best of shape. I like to remember him. My wife's got a picture of him. He's standing there in the woods there where he lived in Mississippi, and he's got his hand up waving. I like to remember him that way because in his later years, it wasn't that way. And I know that he's in heaven with a lot of people that we all know. And I know you guys never met my father-in-law. But there's some people in here that their parents are with him. And they just step there waiting. Well, they'll get here eventually. What a blessing it is. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. We've also, if you look around, we got growth. Now, I'm not specifically talking about growth in numbers, but we got growth in our hearts spiritually. Have we arrived yet? No. And if you ever arrive, I got news for you. That's when you get stupid. You ain't arrived. As long as you're on the face of this earth, you will continue to grow in the Lord Jesus. I was a farrier for 20 years. Not a fairy. But a farrier, that's a horseshoer for some of you who don't know that. Farrier is just a fancier name for it. I've done therapeutic shoeing and corrective shoeing, and I got into it. I had a lot of fun doing it. See what I'd fix a horse because he had one foot that was all messed up, and it was neat to watch them and to see when they were foundering. They were in a lot of pain, and when I put a special shoe on them, and I could see the relaxation, I could see their facial expressions, they just, that feels so much better. I liked helping them, but I enjoyed doing it. It was a real blessing for me to do that, and the Lord allowed me to do it. And I continued to grow in being a farrier. And then I heard of farriers, they're a master farrier. And I'm like, wait a minute. How can you become a master farrier? Because every foot I picked up was always something different. You can't master it unless there's a stopping point. There is no stopping point. There's no stopping point to what the Lord wants us to understand and to learn. We will never, never exhaust the Word of God. It will never get to the point. I had somebody tell me one time, well, I'm going to preach on John 3:16. I think I'd preach through it the whole year. And I'm like, you'll never get done preaching on John 3:16. You can't get done preaching on all of this. You can't say, well, I've preached everything there is to preach. No. It ain't never going to happen. Well, I've learned all there is to learn. No. There's always something new in there that the Lord opens our eyes to, because, listen, a week ago or 6 months ago, we weren't ready for it. We're growing at Wagon Wheel. Look at verse 6. Which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Listen, there's not a person in here, I've been here since 2013, there's not a person in here that is not growing spiritually in some way, form, or fashion. It may not be all of what we're going to, that we need to, as quick as we need to, but it's happening. Sometimes slow growth is better than fast growth. Slow growth in numbers is better than fast growth in numbers. You get a bunch of ding-a-lings in here, and then before long, you're pretty happy when they leave. Because they were here for the wrong purpose. You see, and if we grow too quick, we can get the big head and say, oh, yeah, I know this. I know. Shouldn't you know that, brother? You know, I've been kind of talking with somebody on Facebook, and they put something on there, and I don't want to get into it all, but I put something else in there, and he said, and you're a missionary Baptist and didn't know this? I said, well, I could turn that around and say the same thing to you. You're a missionary Baptist and didn't realize this? You know, we've got to be careful as we grow spiritually in the Lord, because sometimes we may see it this way, but the more you read it, the more you understand, it's like, oh, okay, that's what that meant. You see, you got to be careful reading part of it. You need to read all of it. Put it in context with what was going on. There's a whole lot to say for reading in context. It's real easy to pick out a verse and then just pitch a fit. Especially for preachers. I'd read one verse and boom, it'd blow up. But we need to make sure we understand it all in context. That's the reason it was written in context. There is no verses when you read the actual manuscripts. It's all like a letter. We broke it down because it's easier that way. And I understand why they did it, and I'm glad they did do that. Go ahead. I'm glad they did do that because it makes it easier to learn, and it makes it easier to back up and say, well, wait a minute. Scripture unfolds Scripture, and it gives you the verse and chapter in the book of where you need to go to. But make sure you do it in context. You see, he says the word, preaching, teaching, Bible study, and guess what it's brought forth? Brought forth fruit. Now, some of us may have a little bit of fruit, a little basket. Some of us might have a medium basket. Some of us might have a big basket. And then in this basket might be a little rotten. This and here's rotten. Toss it out. It gets that away. We have to be careful what we're doing, but we're growing, and the way we know we're growing spiritually is because there's fruit. And that's the key. We want to continue growing. You see, like I said, we may be slow in number, may be slow spiritually, but we are growing. You see, you get to growing too fast. I worked on a foal. That's a baby horse. And it was growing. Problem is, it was growing too fast. And it was messing up its knees. And then they get big is what happens. They get about 14 hands, you know. You walk out there and their withers are about right here. And you're thinking, in the United States is the worst for doing this. They have a universal birthday, January. Your horse was born before that, so it can be, I mean, after that, it can be 2 years old in January, but really it won't turn two till February or March.
What do they want to do? See, at 2 years old, you can take them to the NFR, you can take them to the AQHA horse shows. You can ride them at 2 years old, because now the two of them are horse. But they got knee problems. You see, the English, I'll hand it to them on this.
We sent the misfits back to their country years ago, but I will hand this to them. They said, you don't want to get on one until they're 4 years old. Now, I tend to agree with that because it gives them time to mature, gives them time to for their growth plates in their knees to close up, and you damage them a whole lot worse with what we do. Because a lot of things we do with horses isn't what they do out in the pasture. You don't see horses out in the pasture jumping all the time. I want to jump this, I want to jump that. You don't see that. But we take them out and do that. You don't see them chasing a cow down, throw them down on the ground. No, we teach them to do that. We ride them, throw a rope around it, wrap it around the horn and turn and drag it. Hey, horses don't run around saying, I want to drag that steer somewhere. No, that's what we do. They're work animals. So they need to be prepared for it. You see, that's what we're doing. We're preparing for everything that happens by our growing, and we need to continue growing and don't get in too big a hurry, because then you're going to end up with knee problems and feet problems and head problems. You ever see these barrel horses? You watch a barrel horse on TV. They'll come down an alleyway, come into the arena, and they're bam, 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 side by side, because, man, they got to run. Listen, I always told my daughter to keep them calm. Same with the rope horse, keep them calm. Back them into the rope box, and if they want to act stupid, walk them out. Back them in there, get them calm in there. Then they can do their job. And everything will turn out a whole lot. You'll have more of a harmonious outcome. Amen. If it's all done slow and you train them right. My son had a horse. Name was Dandy. Big old gray man. His withers were way up here. He was a big horse. You could back him into a rope box and he's like, oh, I'm ready, I'm ready. But he'd never move. All them muscles would tense up and he's ready. You shake your head, and unless you let go of the rein, the steer would run out and he'd just stand there. Now, I've been on some that the minute that steer comes out, whether you're holding them back or not, they're leaving. We got to go. I don't know what you're doing, but we got to go. No, they got to be under control. See, they were trained right. It was a slow training, and they hadn't lost their mind. We don't need to do that. We need to be in a slow training. We need to be careful about what we're... And if we don't understand something, we ask. Hey, what does this mean? My wife will ask me that, and I've done it myself. My wife will ask me, now, what do you say that for? And I said, keep reading. Because it'll answer it. And it usually does. But we get in too big a hurry. You see, it's all about faith in Christ. It's all about love one for another. It's all about our hope in Jesus and eternity and our growth in Jesus. You see, the Bible tells us to exhort one another. We can love one another. It's good to love one another. But in that process, we need to come alongside each other and help uplift them and help encourage them. That's the exhorting part of it. As I said, it's easy to say, oh, I love you. But we need to exhort them, reach out to them, pray for them, ask them. You see somebody walking around and they're like, and they get to church. Really, when you get to church, I'd be happy. But sometimes you come to church. Brother Jeff, he'll look at me and he'll say, you all right, Pastor? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. And sometimes I just say, pray for me. And that's what we need. We need each other to do that, to love on each other, to talk to each other. Because that's the part of loving. It's exhorting as well. And we need to do that because it's important. And the Lord tells us to. Amen.